Wow, that's not bad.
See, they say the plain of Jezreel. There's a location also Jezreel down to.
This is the first time.
So Jezreel is located about here. Do you remember here the kind of a group from here? Remember? Huh? There's a Mount Carmel, actually, about 522 meters. So, when after contest with a false prophet, and after kill them, and then ask the King Ahab to come to here about Jezreel. Jezreel has King Ahab's palace located here, and Samaria is located about here. Oh, Samaria is here. I'll be quick, yeah. Next. Okay. And Tishba here, and Brook, how do you pronounce? Brook Carriage, it makes sense too. Brook Carriage. Carriage. Well, somebody said carriage. Anyway. There is a wonder location here around here. It's not sure up here, but there is a... Have you read First King... what a chapter... There's a first, second battle. Tour to is it Aram? Yeah. I asked to read First King from 17 to all till the last chapter. There's a reason because Elijah dealing with King Ahab. So if you read those chapters, you can understand the personality about the King Ahab. Do you think King Ahab is a kind of person, very strong personality? Yeah, you can tell, right? His personality is very, he's very submissive to his wife. But then that's why he turned out to be very bad king. So. No, it doesn't mean, it does. No, it's not that, because the wife was bad. So here the brother, you have to, you know, pray to God to give a good wife. Then you submit to your wife, to good wife, then you become a good one, good husband. That's not bad. So here all the sisters are actually very good. So, have you, what do you think when King Ahab, and when he deal two battles, these two battles is God help him. At first battle, God help him. But still he didn't repent. It seems that he followed what God says, so he make a great victories. But next battle, it's even the first battle, he made a mistake. What mistake he did it? No, not the first, the second, sorry. Anyway, the location, have you noticed the location when they had a battle? Anybody? The location? The battle location? Anybody, the location? Samaria. First one is Samaria. They just circle around the Samaria. But second ones. It's not related with Elijah anyway, but just extend your geographical kind of background. Yeah, they're called the Apex. Apex is located about here. It didn't show up, of course. Apex is another Apex is here. Do you remember any Apex? Battle in 1 Samuel? That's okay, never mind. So, Apek is here, one, because this battle, Apek is here, because the enemy is located here. They came here because they think that God, the God of Israel is what? They think it's a mountain God, not the plain field. So, they want to battle in here, because this area is a plain field, so they brought the army here to fight. But God think that no, you think I'm only God for the mountains, so I wanna show you I'm not the only mountain God. So they were killed. They were all. How many people die on the battle? The enemies. 3,000? Only 3,000? Oh, 100, so yeah, thank you. So they listen. They got the great lesson from God. Yeah, that's epic. Where King Ahab died? Which battle? In which location? At this time, the kingdom of Judah also the king also joined with this battle. But they have a peace with the northern kingdom at that time, so they joined in this battle. Anybody? Ramoth Gilead. Location around here too. But this is a little mountain area. So here the Apex is like a plain field. And Ramoth Gilead is a little bit rough, a little mountain area. But this in that battle, King Ahab was killed by the enemies. Yeah. Location, this is one more time here. Zarephath. Remember this one. Above here, what? What city here? Sidon. Damascus is located about here. Damascus. Yeah. Where is it here? Then. Walls over here. So top to bottom. This is a whole land. And Samaria, and these three. Gilgal here, Bethel here. What is down to the Gilgal here? Jericho, right? Jericho. When Israel, when they came from Egypt, and after 40 years' journey, and came here to cross over the Gilgal, what they did, do you remember? Huh? Separate? You mean that they cross over the Jordan River? And then what happened? They pick up the 12 stones and put the monument here in Gilgal. Another one is that Gilgal is the place when they have a most painful thing for the man they did here. Huh? Huh? The circumcisions that they did here, yeah, the Gilgal. Gilgal is an important location because it is a historical location. At the same time, the Gilgal is a very important and strategic location, actually. So they prepare here. Jehoshua met the man of what they call the God's man. I mean, actually, God himself met here to. He asked, is it my side or an enemy side? And then he met the God, and God helped him to destroy the Jericho at that time. So he came down to approach to the Jericho to destroy the Jericho. So Gilgal is the location, the first city after Israel. They cross over the Jordan River, and then they stay there to prepare for the battle to occupy the whole this land. How about the Jericho? What is famous for Jericho? Jericho. Simple city. And something very important, things happened there, you know, on Jericho. Way back the history. When Joshua, before he conquered the Jericho, what happens? He sent a spy in Jericho. Remember? So who was saved? Who was saved from the city, Jericho? Rahab. What her job? Yeah. How come he was saved? She was saved because of her faith. And she later on she became what? The ancestor of. Yeah. So she's the ancestor of David also, right? How about this Bethel? Do you have any the history? Jacob's. On the way to Haran. Haran is way here. Anyway. The Bethel. On the way to run away from his brother, Esau. He slept on here in the Bethel. And he was lonely at that time. But he saw that the ladder came down, up and down. And he saw the God. It's a place where the God, God is there. And also God encouraged him, I'll be with you God promised him to bring him back later. So 20 years later on, 20 years he stayed with his uncles. What is his uncle's name? Reuben. So 20 years later on, so he stole the two daughters. And then make a big household, and then came down, become a rich man, and came down, cross over the. This is the Jabbok River around here, so you know the story. He wrestled with the man of God is there, Samaria. Later on, it disappeared anyway. Beelzebub is after he compared with the. Elijah compared with this false prophet and killed them, and then after pray for the rain, and then the rain came and he ran dash to the Jezreel, and then came down to Beersheba, and leave his left his servant, and he fall down to the Mount Horeb, and God gave him strength, and he went back to his mission. So after he brought himself and came down here, and wake him up, God awakened him spiritually, and also God gave him physically gave him a strength in his body, asking him to go to Damascus, do his mission. Consider this mission as final missions. But he anointed two kings, and also God asked him to brought Elisha for these successors, and bring him down later. And then he visited these three locations, Bethel and Gilgal and Jericho. And then after he visited Jericho, he crossed over the Jordan River. How he crossed over the Jordan River? Hit his clothes, yeah, and hit the Jordan River and cross over. So when after cross over, and God took him with whirlwind came and then brought him up with a chariot to hold him up. And which city, people in which city saw this instance? Jericho. So now hear the answer. The Jericho is here. So the Gilgal and Jericho is the location is, this is Jordan River, and the side, both sides, the Jordan Valley. So it's kind of around here is a valley. This is it. So once you know the geographical background, that when you read the Bible, much better. Yeah, really. Yeah, trust me, really. More fun, you know, than you just read. When you read it, you don't know what the place. It seems like you're like blind when you read. Things happen here, things happen there. So, you know, but when you know all the location, but we do not know how it looked like in that city, but still it's much better. You know, don't you think so? Yeah, so that's a... backgrounds. Let's we go to your textbook. Yesterday, I a little bit talking about the background during the time of Elisha. We studied that during this time, during the time of Elisha, the generation is really corrupted. About 60 years during these times after the Solomon's, these 10 tribes really corrupted in the sight of God. They did evil to God. They worshipped the Baals and the false idol, false prophet. By the guidance of false prophets, they worshipped the idol. So they kind of walk away from God. But this time, God sent Elijah to trying to bring these people back to their heart to the Lord. That's his mission. That's what it says in Malachi chapter 4. Let's turn to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4, verse 4, 5, and 6. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and the ordinances which I commanded him in the Horeb for all Israel. Verse 5. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and the terrible day of the Lord, and he will restore the heart of the fathers to their children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, the least I command is to meet the land with the curse. What this passage talking about Elijah, but this Elijah is talking about the John the Baptist, but his Elijah mission was a similar like John the Baptist. And so here in the Malachi, talking about, mention about the coming of John the Baptist as Elijah. Matthew chapter 11, talking about Jesus, he's saying that this Elijah is talking about John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 11, verse 14. Of book of Matthew. And if you care to accept it, he himself is Elijah who was to come. Yeah, here says Elijah. So similar mission that John the Baptist received from God. So Elijah's mission also, the similar way like John the Baptist. John the Baptist, his mission is very short period of time. Because only his assignment is to prepare the coming of Jesus Christ. So when the Jesus came, and before he started the mission, he was captured by the King Herod, and he beheaded, and he died. So that's his mission. And here, Elijah, in a similar way, his working period of time is very short. It's not a long period of time. But during this time, he did a great job because he relied on God. He performed his work is for the glory of God. So although he's a short time, but he accomplished the great things in that time. Let's look at the 1 Kings chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 29. Would you, from the sister side, would you read 29 to 34, anybody? Yeah, this passage tells us that during this time, how much this society, how much they corrupted in the sight of God. They even worshiped the idol and so daily, even in the promised land. But God's mercy is still upon the Israel for a long period of time. We know what year the northern kingdom of Israel they were destroyed by Assyria. Anybody knows? Anybody? Northern kingdoms? 722. But this time, the King Ahab is 865, 852 here mentioned, right? So it's about 180 years. God still saved this kingdom for 180 years after even King Ahab. Because this is the mercy of God. These people, you know the northern kingdom, each king, every king, considers every king, they do not follow God's ways. But still God saved these people. But later on, their sin reach up to be punished by God. But God waiting and waiting. God even sent many prophets to ask them to return, but they never returned. But they neglect all the word of God. And this passage here, the 29 to 34, here tells us that even the king do not respect God. And also 34, there is one man, Bethel. 34, in his days, the Hiel, Bethelite, that built the Jericho. You know, Bethel is the historical location, so we know that, right? We just mentioned before. But he came from this place, built the Jericho. He doesn't have knowledge about the Bible, knowledge about the these five books, and the story of Jehoshua. I think they have no ideas. So he built the Jericho there, and he laid its foundation, the lost the first one, and the set up its a gate, and the lost the youngest one, because Jehoshua cursed toward the Jericho. Anybody who built here, and the person who built the foundation will be lost the first sons. Those who built the gate will be lost the last sons. It came true here. Because these people have no knowledge of God. I mean, in our nowadays also the same things. When you go out to talk to the peoples, not many people really respect God that much. Many people know that there is a God, but they don't want to follow God's way. Then it's the same thing, not to believe in God. This is talking about now generations. So we are different. We are here as 120 people. I'm so glad that you have a great heart to commit yourself to come here to attend this NYTS. Not only the NYTS, I'm sure because you have a heart to serve the Lord, and I'm sure because you have a set goal, your life goal for the Lord. I hope you can continue your journey, your life to the Lord. We do not know when we're going to die. I always mention to you, I might die tomorrow, you might die tomorrow too. Because of accidents, because of any instance, you might die too. I myself too. We do not know. This is our life. Is that you want to set your goal for yourself, then suddenly you die, you know, come onto your life. And then you go to God and in front of God, what are you going to say later? It is important, your life and my life, to set the goal for His glory so we can get some reward from the Lord. That is a blessing. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18 and 19. Second Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18 and 19. This time from the brother side, would you read these two verses? Anybody? This is a dear says, and now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and give us the ministry of reconciliation. We each one of you received the mission from God. I hope we can recognize these missions. Hope we can aware this mission in our life, so we can do something for the Lord. Sometimes we think we cannot preach the gospel. We don't have enough knowledge about the Bible. We don't have enough courage to preach the gospel to other peoples. But that's why we have to pray to God. God give us a strength that we can preach the gospel. I'm also shy, you know, shy person. So I'm very consider myself as not good speakers, and also I'm not a well organized person. So you can tell. But we have to understand, God choose us to send us these true churches. We cannot just only enjoy ourselves, but we have to do something for the Lord. Each one of you, that you pursue your goal, but there's a reason. When you get a job out there in the company, but there's many things you can do, accomplish in your, you know, in your career place. And when you do your own business, you can do many things too. It depends on how your attitude toward to your work and your life. The one, this is not our church, but the other churches. This man has a problem speaking, you know, what do you call it, the say same word several times? Stuttering. I do sometimes, but so he always feel that it bothers him. And then one day the minister asked him, "You can preach the gospel." And then he think, "How can I preach the gospel? I say many times, you know, da 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 da, and then da 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 next one. So how can I preach?" And he prayed to God. And then he decided to preach, and you know, people around his friends and, you know, the neighbors. But here it's very hard to find out the neighbor in the United States. But in Korea it's different. You know the neighbor who live there, you know. Cause, so he started to preach and knocked on the door of the neighbor, "No, already." And then, you have to believe in God. And at the beginning, the neighbor just opened the door. What this man talking about? You know, it's very strange. But that makes a click to listen to him actually. If you just said you have to believe in God, then I forget about it and close the door. But you know, during this time, they have to listen anyway. So you keep listening. So you have to believe, you know, that turns the many people to listen from his message. So brought them to the church. This is not our church's, you know, story, but other church's story. But sometimes we think that we don't have a gifted, but we can do it. God gave us a mission that if we're willing to do it, then we can do it. So let us try our best. We don't have to say that we don't have a gift, but we have a gift. Each one of us here, everybody have a precious gift. We can preach the gospel. I cannot be Elijah, but at least I can follow him. So we can follow him too. So that's our what we learn now doing study the Bible, especially character of Elijah. Let's go to First King chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settler of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, the before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." He's so determined when he say to the king Ahab, and he can say to the king Ahab, he's not any position in this world. He's just merely like just man, just maybe countryside man. But he came to the king Ahab to say this, proclaim there will be no rain in the land of Samaria. This is there really. Why? Because he understands that this is the will of God. This is a punishment to the nation, so the nation can awakening their wrongdoing, so they can come back to the Lord. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. from verse 13. Deuteronomy 11, verse 13. Would you read, Sister Sides, read this verse 13 to 17. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13 to 17. Thank you.
And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land and season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather from the grain your new wine and your oil. And I will send grass in the field for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Let the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut the heavens so that there will be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving to you.
So here in the passage that early time, during the time of Moses, they already promised this word to Israelites. If you do it, if you love your God, if you submit to the Lord, and you worship the Lord, and share your love to God, then I will give you plenty of rain, so that your life will be prosper in this promised land. But if you turn away from God, then there will be no rains. This is the covenant between his people and God. So here in the first king here, chapter 17, when Elijah came up to proclaim to Ahab, is based upon this covenant, we can say. So it's not that he performed the miracle, but he understands the will of God. So he knows where the timing comes. So he talked to King Ahab, there will be no rain in the land of Samaria. When we pray, important thing is, it is your will or it is God's will when you pray. When you pray, you according to the God's will, that it will come true in our life. But many times our prayer is based upon our own will. It's not the God's will, but our will. And this is the problem of prayer sometimes. Because we are not a strong faith sometimes. So we are very selfish nature. That's why even we pray to God, but actually pray for ourselves. It's never pray to God, actually. I'd like to share a few things. Elijah, how come he so become a powerful man, a man of God? Because his prayer, that yesterday we read James chapter 5 verse 17, they mentioned that he prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly. Every time we kneel down in the sight of God, we have to show our earnesty, our humility. That's the key to our prayer to reach to God. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. With all prayer and the petition, pray at all time in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. When here the first portions of this verse says, with all prayer and petition, prayer at all time in the Spirit. Of course, we can pray in the church. We have to pray. When we come to the Lord on the chapel, we can pray together. But you need your own time to pray. And also you can pray throughout the day when you work. And And while sometimes when even you drive, you can pray to God. This is my experience when I was in college. I really enjoy driving at the same time pray. But there was no accidents. So I enjoyed because when I sit in the my driving seat, driver's seat, and it feels very comfortable. And sometimes I listen to some good music. that helps me soothing and calm down myself. And while I'm driving, I pray to God. It's a good time to meditate yourself, especially freeway. It's very easy to drive. It's straightforward, and you just keep the handle and push the accelerator, and the car goes. Simple, right? So, but when you go someplace else, you meet somebody, that your attention is distracted, actually. But while you drive, you can concentrate, actually, your mind. Not too much. You have to see the car, but at least you can pray. Really, you can meditate. You can pray. Man can do many things while we're doing some things. So that's a man. So I hope that a prayer is all day long prayer. It's not only you set your time that here in the church, but you can pray everywhere actually. That helps us a lot. That our mentality to follow His way.